Good morning to one and all. God's given us a wonderful day, beautiful morning. He's displayed his faithfulness to us. I'll tell you what, folks, now it's time for us to display our faithfulness to him. I was thinking this morning, and we had in our junior high, senior high class, the verse from Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, which says in verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I encourage us all to be digging into the Word of God that we don't stumble on the pathway, right? Amen. So that's what we're going to do today. As always, we're going to preach the Word. We're going to let the Spirit have His free reign. And I'm excited today to serve and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's stand today. Welcome to one and all. If you have a hymnal, number 59, otherwise it's on the screen. And we're going to praise God in song, followed by our invocation. I'm excited today about what God has in store for our walk with Him. So here we go. When I saw the cleansing fountain open wide for all my sin, I obeyed the Spirit's moving. When He said, "Wilt thou be clean?" Praise Him. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Enthusiastic singing. Shall we come to the Lord in prayer? Our Father in heaven, thank you for the fire that is kindled when people have received you as their Lord and Savior and had their sins forgiven. We thank you for the fire of the Holy Spirit, again, that burns brightly in the lives of believers. I pray today, Lord, that the believers that have entered this building would not be found dead, but we'd be found alive in you this day, rejoicing and giving you all the glory that you are due. I pray today, Lord, for the free reign of your Spirit as well during the preaching of the word in this time of worship, that again, Lord, we would be examining our hearts and lives and, Lord, drawing closer to you in a very vibrant and good walk. Lord, we live in times that are challenging, but we know this, Lord, you're up to the challenge. And so if we'll walk with you, Lord, we know this, you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We have nothing to fear other than fear itself. But with you, Lord, you tell us consistently through your word, do not fear, for I am with thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So, Lord, today I just pray for the hearts of all that have assembled. We're thankful for everyone that's come through the doors. And today, Lord, may this be a life-changing event as we worship you in spirit and truth at Fruitland. Now, Lord, we think of our community. We think of those that are needy in our community, not just for physical needs, but mostly for spiritual needs. And we just pray, Lord, we'd see an outpouring in our day of people in our community interested in you. Help us to be proactive as we reach out to those that are our neighbors. Lord, today also, we know there are people in our number here, even in our congregation, that are ill today with physical ailments. And it's likely, Lord, some may be ill spiritually as well today, but we know there is a font filled with the blood of Emmanuel, ready to cleanse us and to revive us. And so, Lord, I thank you for that today. That's an exciting thing. But we do pray for those that are struggling with ailments and other things, Lord, that have intervened in their life. We pray yet today as well, Lord, for maybe someone that's been thinking yet about coming out to church. Maybe they're just at this moment running late. Lord, watch over them, encourage them. Help us all, Lord, to be engaged with you fully. Now, Lord, as we worship you this morning, may this be something that is pleasing to you, Lord, and that causes you to consider and know the hearts of the people here, that they love you dearly. And, Lord, may the things that we do here be pleasing definitely to you. Thank you for your presence, and now I pray these things in the great name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. And for just a moment, let's take a look at our bulletins or on the screen at some of the announcements upcoming for the week. Again, want to invite you back tonight. Certainly, we're done with the bad weather where we'll be able to, with somewhat regularity, have our evening services. But tonight is communion, and we're going to be continuing on in some more reminders of what real church is, that series, and that teaching will be coming to an end in particular soon. But hopefully the results of it will not be gone, and we will be proactive there. Also, some things here in case you wondered. And by the way, we're glad for everyone. Glad today if you're visiting here at Fruitland this morning. This is a congregationally governed church. And so there are some ballots that have gone out to members. And there is a nominating committee meeting tomorrow at 6 o'clock. But before then, by the end of today, we need to have our ballots returned to the appropriate people. There's also a deacon and a trustee meeting scheduled at 6 o'clock tomorrow night before the nominating committee at 7. And Jeff, I think, do you have some different things on that? Okay. So a little earlier with the trustees. Okay. Well, we're going to look forward to that, aren't we? All right. Let's get ramped up, folks. Amen. Anyway, if you have a year-end report, if you're responsible for that, please get that turned in to Deb. I believe she has by the 3rd of March. That's Wednesday. And our annual meeting is a week from Wednesday. It'll be the 10th at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Midweek, we will not have a midweek prayer meeting and Bible study, so to speak. But again, if you're someone that's new to Fruitland or interested, our meetings are open and you can come and see what's on the agenda. I think we have some very exciting things to contemplate for this new year. I'm excited. I can hardly contain it. I'm serious. It's going to involve all of us too, and there's going to be some neat things we're going to try. And I'm excited about what we might see happen in our community as a result of some of these things. If we had time, I'd tell you more about them this morning. But anyway, pastor's thought for the week. This is very profound, Lyle. One rock thrown into the pond causes many ripples. Think about that. I think that's all we had. Is there anything else? Okay, well, At this time, we're going to have a little time of corporate prayer as we prepare our hearts for worship. And I believe we have a special that some of these guys, including myself, are going to sing for the Lord this morning. And so as we go to prayer, remember we still are not using ushers to pass plates, but there is an appropriate spot on that back table as you leave your gifts for the Lord. And might I just say, God has been so good to Fruitland Baptist Church. You know, he's a great God. And you don't have to crank on people. All we have to do is follow the Word, follow the leading of the Spirit through the Word. And you know what? God will bless us abundantly. I'm so thankful for that. Let's pray. Father, again, we want to come to you this morning and say thank you for all the blessings. And Lord, even if we're here today in the midst of trials and difficulties, of despair, of grief, Lord, help us to look at the big picture and realize that you're still in control if we've yielded our lives to you. Now, Lord, thanks again, and may you bless both the gift and the giver. Thank you for your abundant supply here at Fruitland Baptist Church. I'm so thankful, Lord, just can't say enough how we've never had to make money an issue here and to make that a big deal, Lord, because it's been a big deal to people through your Spirit speaking to their hearts. So I just pray dynamic things can come this year, Lord, here at Fruitland with our outreach, missions, different things, and we thank you for everyone that's come out today. Now, Lord, as we anticipate some time in the Word and with heartfelt worship, I pray that, again, we would all take a moment here to contemplate our heart before you today. And, Lord, change us. Make our hearts pliable to your use and make us ever new. Make us ever fresh in you today. Thank you, Lord, again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We've got some guys here that are going to sing.
This was impromptu. We didn't have a good thing today, so we did this a couple years ago.
I'm satisfied with just the cottage below, a little silver and a little gold, but in that city, ransom will shine. I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday we will never more wander but walk the streets that are purest gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow was gold.
You know, it's interesting. Kim and I were just discussing that this morning. Among many of my manias, I have a real thing about potholes and the car and vehicles going through them. And Kim and I just discussed this morning, didn't we, Kim? Just think about that. In heaven, the streets will be paved with gold. No more potholes. Things will be smooth there. Amen. We don't realize the benefits of heaven. As we begin this morning, I wonder if you'd do me a favor this week. I wondered if you'd... Thank you. Appreciate that response. You know, if you do nothing else this week, three things. Get into the Word at least one verse a day. Number two, invite a young person and speak with a young person about the Lord and invite them to church and Sunday school. And number three, invite an older person that you encounter this week to Sunday school and church and try to introduce them to Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, folks, if we'll do that every day of every week, we'll see big results for Jesus. It's not about us, not about having big numbers or anything like that, but it's about just what we sang about there. You know, with Jesus, he doesn't believe in Motel 6. He doesn't believe in Motel 8. He's got the best plan for us. And I want to just remind us today what we find in John 14, that if you're a believer here today, you've been born again in Christ, you're a new creature in Christ, he's working on your place today. And one day he'll call us all there. But as of today, he's still working on it for all of us that are here today, if you're born again. If you're not, if you'd be born again today in Christ, if you'd acknowledge your sin and place it under the blood of the Savior, wow, what a fantastic future we've got to look forward to. It'll mean your reservation. Yep, your reservation in heaven to a mansion. Anyway, folks, I'm still excited about the Lord. I hope you are too. I think it's every day is an interesting day in Christ. He's working his plan. He's right on time. There's a lot of reasons Satan wants to trip us up and discourage us, but let me tell you, folks, Jesus is not discouraged today. He's going to come one day in his power and glory. And I'll tell you what, just like we heard last week, we're all going to know who he is. Every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord according to the glory of God the Father. Anyway, today, the last part of our requested message on fasting. Hopefully you have a paper if you're interested in one with a little outline on it. I'm not going to go back through a whole lot of this. If you have a question about it, you can listen to the recording on the website, or you can come talk to me, or go to a neighbor. Many of us probably did a little cheating in school at times. Oh, and your neighbor always has the answers, right? No, don't ever count on that. They may not be the right answers. I was actually joking with our Sunday school kids, and Judy and Kathy, I want you to know this was a joke, and I told them that. But we talked about that very thing. Some of you, at least that are baby boomers, remember what was called a Scantron test in school. If you went to Iowa, Iowa test of basic skills. Did you ever wonder, though, you know, how you filled in those little ovals with the answers? Did you ever wonder what it'd be like just to go through there and try? Lonnie, why are you laughing over there? I know it. Some people have been known to score better on the Iowa test of basic skills when they just went through and did a pattern on the ovals than they did when they actually answered the questions. I'm not endorsing that because that's sin. But I will tell you about a little something that Kim and I did when we were in high school. We had a government teacher. Her name was Mrs. Betty Fair. Some of you may have heard the name. If the Dunkers were here this morning, they would have known of her. But anyway, her husband, Toadie, was instrumental in getting REA, Rural Electrification Agency, started in Wilton, and Rural Electricity. But she was known to have favorites, and I was one of them. And Kim was not. We turned in the exact same paper that Kim wrote one time. I should. This is out in public. They may do something up at the school about that. Revoke my degree from Wilton High School. We turned in just because everyone knew this, but tell them what happened, Kim. And you? Now, don't think badly of your pastor, but I was somewhat ornery, and I've confessed that to the Lord, and you folks know it too. I didn't always do what was right, but anyway, let's not get it wrong with God, though. You can't pull stuff on God. Anyway, fasting and prayer, they go together. We learned that last week. We found the purposes of it. I gave you some of the definitions of it. You have that there on your sheet. But, you know, what was the goal from fasting and prayer? Was it to be something more special to go around and brag about it?
No.
No. If that's why you do it, you're going to miss the point of it. It won't be blessed. But basically, this is what it is. It's a goal of a more intimate fellowship with our Father and a pursuit of the mind of God. And as we'll learn today, and as we did learn a little bit last week, it's something that's reserved for what? Critical things. I believe this today, there are likely critical things going on in every one of our lives that are ultra important. But that fellowship is reserved for us if we'll pursue it. So today we're going to look into that a little bit further. We're going to actually, you can read, everyone read the definition. Does everyone have a sheet? You have tools to find that too on the website if rather than me review this in totality. But today we're going to start in the third little subpoint under point two, some biblical parameters. But before we go any further, I know I preached on that last week already, but I forgot one thing. It's very important. So let's go to prayer, and then we'll get to going, as our biology teacher used to say in high school, right, Kim? I'll tell you more about that later. Lord, we're having some fun, and I think it is fun, Lord, to walk with you. And you've got some exciting things out there for us, Lord. And I do think you have a sense of humor, too. It's a joy, Lord, to be in fellowship with you today. Oh, Lord, my prayer goes out to people that are locked in their bitterness about things today. Even Christians, Lord, Satan wants to trip us. He wants to destroy sweet fellowship with you. Lord, I think, again, what we're talking about today is one venue of many whereby we can draw closer to you. And when there are critical things that come in our life, we have an avenue of communication with you through prayer and fasting that's endorsed by the Scriptures. Lord, help us to look at those parameters, to look at this subject if it's something that we are interested in or are led to examine further, but help us to be knowledgeable, because we know, Lord, that ignorance is always the worst thing. That's when we're vulnerable to Satan, when we're not well informed. Now, as you know, Lord, with me, I'm faulty, I'm defective, and I didn't give everything that should have been put in this message. There's more in your word. I'm not anything special as a writer or speaker or anything else. So this is deficient today, Lord. But hopefully the sufficiency of your word and what is presented will cause us to dig into the subject even further. And I pray that that will be the factor today, Lord, that we'll be motivated about everything that we study that surrounds you. And I believe, Lord, everything does. So to cut to the chase, Lord, you know me, you know my troubles, weaknesses, faults, the rest of it, and they are many. But I pray, Lord, that you would help me today and fill me with the Spirit, Lord. Support me, Lord, as I bring this message forth for your honor and glory, that there may be results from it. And I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, the biology teacher, Dale Kraemeyer, he was also our wrestling coach. And we'd walk into biology class, and he never had a handkerchief, but he'd go, but much more loud than that. All right, let's shut her off. And off we'd go. So, talk to Kim about that. She knew the Kraemeyers well. He was a good guy, though, he was. And he's been departed now for quite a few years. But we had some, I'm sure you had interesting instructors and educators where you went to school too, right? Yeah. Some of you Muscatine people, I'd always like to hear about Lindley Hoops. who was ag teacher down here. If any of you ever had him, I always enjoyed talking to him, but didn't have him for ag. Anyway, here we go. Most of us have to do what in this life? Well, I was thinking eating first. But that really doesn't fit in so well with the fasting message, does it, here this morning? We have to work. And I forgot to lay this point out. I had it in my notes from last week out of Acts 13, verses 1 and 2. And, of course, this is where we learned about how the folks at the Antioch church used prayer and fasting to determine who went where on the mission field. But the thing I wanted to make clear that I forgot last week is this. In verse 2, it says, "And as they ministered," that word means served. Okay, so one thing that I want to encourage us all with, if we are led to fast over an issue in our life, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to withdraw from what? From the daily necessities of life, but yet we can do it in the midst of those necessities, you see, and have that intimate walk with God. Now, that's all I wanted to say there further, but that was one of the parameters that we found, and we found that it was for where specifically God wanted them to work and what he wanted them to do. And so that's another one there. Now let's go on here in this study to Mark 9:29. Mark 9:29. Matthew, Mark, Luke. I've been reading in a daily study the book of Mark lately. You know, Mark was not one of Christ's close disciples. Very likely he followed. The big connection with Mark was that his mother owned the dwelling. It's widely thought, we're going to talk about communion tonight, but it's widely thought that Mark's mother owned the upper room where the disciples met. Have any of you ever heard that before? So it's a little, Mark was a disciple, but he was not in the core group, okay? But Mark 9 and verse 29. Mark 9:29. I've got to back up one page here. And here's what we find here. We find a son of a man who was possessed by a demon. And the Lord delivered him. And I won't go through and take time to look at this passage, but the crux of the matter was is that the disciples, Christ's disciples, were trying to remove that demon, and they were given that power, weren't they, as his followers? But in this case, what happened? You remember the context here? They weren't able to do it. In other words, he was a tough cookie. Right? Is that what the text says? You want me to go back through it? But in the end, it says this. He talks to the dad here in verse 23. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." By the way, this is a good prayer for all of us, folks. Because Jesus continually illustrated that faith, again, is what the power is in things. It's how much we believe. And he said, among many things, he said, if you have the faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, which was the smallest known seed that was illustratable at that time, he says, you can what? You can move mountains. You can tell a mountain to move from here to here. And by the way, he did not say to use a dozer or a scraper. Faith. Trust, belief, he said it's powerful. This is what he said to the dad. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast that demon out?" And here's what Jesus said. And this shows again about the power of fasting and prayer. That it is something that's reserved for critical issues. And that's the idea about these parameters that we're talking about. What did Jesus say in 29? "This kind came forth by nothing but prayer and fasting." So understand this today, folks. What you or I may be facing today in our walk, it may require prayer and fasting. And it may be, again, you say, "I've prayed and prayed and prayed about that." Well, there is nothing wrong with doing what Jesus said here in situations that seem impossible. And this is reserved for that very thing. But Jesus said it there. He said, this is a tough one. And he endorsed prayer with fasting. So again, that's a parameter. What you may and I may be facing today may be subdued, and the power of Satan in that and the will of God might be brought forth through getting serious with God and denying, as you looked in that definition on that sheet, some of the things that, again, cause us to be lessened in our impact with the Lord. I better not say what I was going to say. Well, yes, I will. How many of you evaluate the time that you spend every day? I was telling our Sunday, thank you, Doug and Kay. Do you have proof? No. You know, I told our young folks in Sunday school, and they're not thinking in these categories today, but maybe they will today. I'm looking at that clock back there. Tick, 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 tick. And what am I thinking at my point in life? There's some stuff that needs to be done because the ticks are going to run out. And you know, you get to thinking about that, don't you? There's some important things that need accomplished. Well, one of the things about fasting, if you're doing an efficiency study on your day, I wanted to share. How many of you are truck drivers or have done extensive traveling on the road? Why do you not eat and drink a lot of stuff when you're traveling on the road? Because it's a distraction to your day, because you're going to pull off where there's blue signs, often, on the interstate. I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek, but you see what I'm saying? If we want to really get down with the Lord, we got to cut the distractions out. And prayer and fasting. See, even those distractions of the physical needs of the body waste time. I think we ought to watch that clock a lot more. But not necessarily watch the seconds tick off, but realize they're ticking off. And we need to get down with the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
Enough said. Next point. Book of Esther, Old Testament. Tell me a little about Esther. You ever known anyone named Esther?
Yes, I did.
Barb Sulzberger? Barb's mom was named Esther. Yeah. Book of Esther. What was the situation here? God's people, the Israelites, are in captivity with the who? Medo-Persia. What's going to happen to them? A Holocaust. And you can read all the details about that. A guy named Haman, the king, a setup that took place, and they were going to be taken out. What about Esther? Tell me a little about her. She was a young Hebrew lady, Jewish lady, and she was a knockout to look at. Bible says that too. And the go ahead, Doug.
Well, she had a godly uncle, Mordecai.
Mordecai.
She prayed for her, said she'd have the courage to go before the king.
Yeah. And what could have happened if he didn't extend his scepter to her? And there goes the nation of Israel. By the way, God, He knows all these things, but He still wants us to do what? To operate by faith with what? With the proper heart motives. Anyway, I directed Esther 4:16 on our subject this morning. Esther 4:16. And you can read back about all this. But here it is. Go gather together all the Jews. Esther's saying this before I go into the king, and we see if he's going to extend his scepter to me for communication. He says, go to the whole family of the Jews that are present in Shushan, that's the province, and notice there, and what? And fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink. In this case, it also says drink. And we found that that's legitimate in the definition of the terms that are used in the Hebrew. How long? 3 days and nights. Now, I'm not going to stand up here this morning and tell you when you fast, do it for 3 days. I am going to tell you, though, if you're doing it and with no drink, don't go more than 3 days because that's about as far as we can go without liquids, all right? But the point is here, fasting is not something, as we learned last week, that necessarily is effective when it's done for what? a long period of time, but it can be effective. It doesn't mean that you can't do that, but it can be effective for what? A designated period of time where devout supplication before the Lord is done. Anyway, I just wanted to point out, in this case, they did it for 3 days, food and drink. Night or day, I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So you see here again, it's illustrated that fasting and that act, if done right with the right heart motives, is a great way to see our faith increased and to give us what? To give us positivity and to give us, what's the word I'm searching for this morning? Confidence, that's the word I'm looking for. Maybe I lack it this morning. But confidence before God. And Esther says, you know what? If we've done this due diligence to come before God for the answer for these things, then what? I'm ready to accept the consequences, you see. So it is a tool that is used in critical times when there are dire consequences that are at stake. What might be some things that we'd fast about today with prayer? You know, it could be many things. I won't illustrate a lot. It could be an unsaved loved one. It could be many things. It could be for our nation. It could be for the church. You know, there are many things that are near and dear to the hearts of all of us where this is something, again, that may be useful in our seeking of clarity and purpose before God. Amen? Enough said. Okay, anyone want to make a further comment on Esther? Well, what was the outcome in case someone hasn't read it? It all worked out, didn't it? And the Jewish people, the ethnicity was saved. Yep. And I believe that maybe this had an impact on that. Sandra?
But in this case, it was not a private fasting. It was a...
Yes. And we're going to get to that. It can be called by a spiritual leader. Now you're going to say, well, is that just a pastor? Or no. Aren't we all responsible as spiritual leaders for someone? You're saying to me, John, I'm single here today. I have no family. I doubt that's the case with anyone. If you're saved here today, you've got your family right here, family of God. We're not alone in this world. And it is not wrong to call for that activity. However, you cannot, again, force that on anyone either. And it's really something that's pretty private. But I think a spiritual leader could call on that. And I have heard that done a time or two. And I guess personally, I think it's something that it needs to be reserved for critical things when you would call a public fast of God's people. Could it be done? Yes. Should it be done at times? Yes. Okay? Anyone else? All right, let's keep going. Now, over to Ezra. So back a few books. I'm just giving you some examples that you can look at. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. And we're going to go to Esther chapter 8, verses 21 through 23.
Ezra?
Did I say that? I said Esther, didn't I? Ezra. Okay, Ezra. Ezra 8, 21 through 23. Now, what was going on in this situation? Israel was coming back out of captivity now to rebuild what? The temple at Jerusalem and eventually the walls as well. The book of Esther, or I said it again, Matt, the book of Ezra actually is a culmination of that journey and how it began and how it took place. But tell me how it went so we know the results where we start. They rebuilt the temple. And they rebuilt the walls. And they did it in record time. And one of the things that you'll find in the scriptures that surround that is, it's recorded because the people had a mind to work. They got serious about things. And that's what we're getting at here again with fasting and prayer. It's a serious thing. Very serious. So let's look at 21 through 23. Esther.
Ezra
8. So here's Ezra. He says, I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava that we might afflict ourselves before our God. Now, what did he mean there? Did he mean that we're going to cut ourselves before God or beat up on ourselves? We're going to bring ourselves into a contrite position before God. And I think that involves what? Ezra was probably saying, you know what, I'm going to get down deep with God and I'm going to confess my sins. And I'm going to seek His face. To seek of Him, notice this, a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. Wow, think about the situation we're in today, folks. There's a few books I'm going to be passing out. I don't want you to read the books before you read God's book. But you know, we face something like that today. You know, 20, 30 years ago, people were preaching, this is coming in the future. We're going to lose our kids in the future. This and that in the future. Folks, we're there. We've already lost our future with our children in many cases. And I won't go into that this morning. But we're not in a good trajectory in our current day environment. Amen? Think about these things, folks. What Ezra is really saying here is he's saying this is going to be a total change of life for us after we've been in captivity. What we're embarking on here is something that can't even be accomplished if it wasn't for God's grace and His endorsement. And then he says in 22, "For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for the good that seek Him, but His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him." Ezra was drawing the nation of Israel to the power supply that is God. And he was saying, God, I've stood up for You. Support my claims that I've made on Your behalf. That's why they went to prayer and fasting. So verse 23, "So we fasted and besought our God for this." And in the King James it says, "And He entreated us." Meaning what? He answered. And you know the history on this, folks. And let me just say again, the Bible is a history book. As we learn in our class, it's also a mathematics book. Madison, how many talk to me about that? Fractions? She got it right. God answered to the prayer and the fasting. Well, let's go to James 5:16. James 5:16. This morning again, I'm just trying to wet our whistles about the subject. Hopefully this has answered the question of the person that wanted this. Just so I make this clear, if you do have requested messages, we're going to put them on hold for a while because we've had so many that I've got a whole list of things to speak about on my desk that I want to preach for a while. But you go ahead and fill the box. We'll come back, Lord willing, some more of them, okay? I like that. James 5:16, you're saying, where's fasting, you know, in the New Testament? Well, I showed you one. They're in the book of Acts. There's more, but here's another one. Let's just take a look at this. James 5, let's go to verse 13. Here James is saying, huh? Yeah, but we're going to back up to 13. Okay. I'm not quite all gone yet, but... "Is any among you afflicted," James says. That means suffering, tribulation. His answer? Let him pray. "Is any merry?" I hope most of us are, all of us are today. I'll tell you what, I've told you this before with Kim. When the whistling stops, you better look out. Kim is a whistler. She has a merry heart. But when you don't hear whistling... But he says, sing. Sing songs, psalms. Now here it is, folks. "Is any sick among you?" Yep. By the way, this means what? This means with an actual sickness. "Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." You know something, folks? Very little of that have I ever seen requested. Now, oil is the symbol of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures. But I'll tell you what, folks, most people are running to the MD rather than to the Savior. You can think about that a little bit. Anoint him and pray over him in the name of the Lord, and that includes the leadership of the church, the mature ones. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, there's a difference in that those two terms of sick there, but here, this word sick means one who is wearied or depressed or discouraged. And what will happen? It says, and the Lord shall what? The prayer of faith shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So this is a time of confession of our sins again. And here James backs that up because he says, confess your faults one to another. By the way, if we all confessed our sins and faults to one another, I wish that could be done. It can be done. But what would impede that? Pastor John had that kind of a thought? Well, did you know? Folks, it's like dear Abby said. Remember Archie Bunker, he called her dear Abby. Abigail Van Buren was a Jew. Did you know that? But she said the church is not what? A sanctuary for saints, but a hospital for sinners. We need to confess these things. I can tell you, I struggle. By the way, that's what women's Bible studies are for. That's what one-on-one Bible studies are for in interaction with one another. What men's Bible studies are for. The preacher back there, we're going to talk about some serious things, aren't we? It's important, but notice here. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And here it is. Here's fasting. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You see, when we take a time out to fast and pray, just like I mentioned earlier, all these extracurricular things become sidebars and our focus is on the Lord and He answers prayer. Enough said, right? Let me check my notes. Oh, by the way, 5:15, where I mentioned sick, is different from sick in 14. I did have a note written down here. Maybe even today, for someone that might be depressed here today, if it's over sin, and oftentimes depression is traced to sin. Amen. Now, I'm not even saying something that we might perceive flippantly as a sinful act, although that might be the case. But it could be to a fact that we've withdrawn from God, something that simple, which is a sin. And what he tells us here, that the guilt of sin, sins of omission, sins of commission, can be something that causes us to be depressed. Don't go to the MD first, or the head doctor. Go to the doctor in heaven. Amen. Enough said, you get the point? Thank you, Matt. Luke 4, 1 through 2. We got to hustle. Matthew, Mark, Luke 4, 1 through 2. That's right, Lisa. I thought that was Lisa that was speaking there. Luke 4, 1 through 2. You know something? We ought to copy a lot of things that Jesus does and did. Now, we're not God. He was and is. But He set the pattern, folks. And Lisa told it right. Luke 4, 1 through 2. And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. By the way, we need to, you know, we are indwelt by the Holy Ghost when we're saved, but we're filled by the Holy Ghost as we what? As we commune with God through the Word. And that's where we get the power, folks. Woo! And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, Of course, the Holy Ghost is the third part of the Trinity. He as well as Jesus is God. But Jesus was empowered even by the third part of the Godhead as God, the Holy Spirit. He returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. By the way, when was this in Jesus' public ministry? It was early on. And see, he needed to get away to get prepared. Now we know he was deity, but he was also humanity. And the pain and the things that we feel as humans, Jesus also felt. Right? Effects of sin. So he goes into the wilderness. What's significant about the wilderness? Just what we've learned before in our message here. It's a place that's apart from everyone else. A closet, so to speak. And now notice, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. Doesn't say about drink. We know that was not the case. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now we won't go into that because of time, but you know what took place next. Jesus came under a test. What can we draw out of this? Prayer and fasting are important before a test. What tests might we be facing today? Personally or corporately? That's another parameter. Tests. Does anyone think we're not under a test? There you go. And more. And watch for them as you study scriptures and give me a buzz or call and say, John, I found some you left out. And I'll say, let's look at them together. Those are some of the parameters. All right, point three, and we're going to be done. We have about 5 minutes. Two biblical applications this morning. First one in the book of Joel. If you're highbrow this morning, it's the book of Joel. The book of Joel. What's going on in the book of Joel? Well, that's talked about, but there's really three things in here. The book, I'm going to break it down for you quick. What was going on with Israel, the first part? Trouble. Do we need to look at it quick? Well, that's the focus on that, but this is what the thing was to begin with. Verse 4, chapter 1. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. And notice the state of Israel. You bunch of drunks. He says, you brought all this on. See, what God was doing with Israel was what? He was raining down judgment, and it was rained down in the form of a famine. Okay? So Joel tells him, go to verse 14. Well, first of all, 13. Gird yourselves and lament, you priests. He got after the preachers. And by the way, I am a priest, but I am not a Roman Catholic priest. We are all priests here today if you're born under the blood of Jesus Christ. We're a kingdom of priesthoods. Jesus Christ is our high priest. That's our access. It guarantees us to God the Father. We have authority, see, on our heads, the Bible says. Not because of anything we've done, but what Jesus did for us. Amen? Are you excited about that today? I'm a pastor, and a poor one at that. But a pastor is one who cares for the flock, tries to feed the flock, bind up the wounded. So never get that wrong. But here, old Joel, he's saying, you people, you leaders in Israel, you've led the flock to slaughter. Now, where was I? 13? He says, howl. He's telling that. Howl, you ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, you ministers of my God. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. He's saying, you people need to get right with God. And you need to get down and dirty about it. By the way, sackcloth. That's a garment that was worn in times of suffering, prayer, supplication, and mourning. We need to keep ourselves, how do I want to say this, proper before God in these attitudes. In other words, You don't have to put your makeup on that morning, ladies, when you begin to fast. Men, you don't have to comb your hair. And what we'll find here, you need to open your heart. See, that's what God... We'll get to that in a minute. Gotta go. Sanctify ye a fast. Sanctify means separate to a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. There it is. That's your prayer. It could be with tears, but the bottom line is you're calling out to the Lord for help. Now, I can't go there, but if you look at two, well, let's do it. We don't have anything in the oven today, Kim, so no problem. No. We'll be done. 2:12 through 19. The second thing here that's coming for Israel is what? For Judah in particular, you're going to get overrun by Babylon and placed into captivity. Right now, you've got a famine. The critters have eaten up all your stuff. God's trying to get your attention. Now, you've got the impending thing of Babylon, the day of the Lord. That's what this book's about. Babylon's going to overrun you. So take a look here, 12 through 19. Therefore, also now, you can read in the context, I think I'm correct on this, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments. This is not an external thing. He says, open your heart. Tear your heart out before me. Come clean with me. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him, or he changes his mind about the calamity that's coming if you get your heart right with God. Now, we don't have time to go through that, but you read that context up through verse 19. That's another time. It says even in verse 15 when we talk about the leadership, spiritual leaders, he says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. And you can read that text. Now, the third thing about the day of the Lord is we need to be thinking in those lines for what's coming when God works his plan of end times events. I cannot say for sure that those days are near to us, but I believe with all my heart they are. This is not a time to be reckless and acting in a way that's supportive of humanity. This is a time to be drawing into humility before God. So legitimately, these days, I believe, are very much days that should be used as a time of prayer and fasting for our families, even for our nation. You know, I don't know what God has planned for the United States, but I know this, we certainly deserve what Israel got, don't we? So there it is. That's the third point of that. And that's found in 2:28 through 3:15 about the day of the Lord. And then the last point. 2 Chronicles 20:1-30. Oh, someone got depressed there. What? 30 verses? 2 Chronicles 20:1-30. 2 Chronicles, didn't I say? 2 Chronicles 20:1-30. Here's another critical issue, fasting and critical issues. Critical is up to you to define and I to define. But these were biggies. And what was going on here was that there was a threat once again of the enemy, and God responded to a fast and genuine heartfelt movement in his people. Just going to give you a few verses here, but I want you to read this on your own. Verse 1, and it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them other beside the Ammonites, came against the Jehoshaphat to battle. This is King Jehoshaphat, jumping Jehoshaphat. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea. In other words, what? There's some people that have some major power that are coming here to do you harm. On this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. Maybe today We need to examine something that scares us and bring it before the Lord. I've been burdened the last few weeks, Kim and I have been talking about kids. Our kids don't know the Word of God. I'm not saying necessarily our adult, you know, of our, but I'm telling you, young people today, they don't look into the Word. And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord, and what did he do? He proclaimed a fast throughout all the land, all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Anyone need help today? Even out of... Where did I... And Judah... 30. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the city of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. You can read on down through this, but go down to verse 9. If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before his throne and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in all our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Now you can read through this, the text. We won't, you can. But how did it all turn out? God responded. What might God be ready to respond to in your life today that can be affected through prayer and fasting and in my life? Well, bottom line, this is where we all ought to be today, down here in verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And you can read the rest of the chapter. But who knows what God may deliver to you and I today if we'll come to him in that mode. The Bible endorses it. The Bible does not command it. It does not, is not something that should be forced on you by anyone. But it is what God compels us to consider in difficult times. Now the conclusion. We're 4 minutes late. Done in the proper motives and perspectives, which there are others that we did not even emphasize in these two messages. Fasting and all that accompanies it are appropriate and necessary at critical junctures in our walk with God, and are powerful in drawing us closer and connecting us to God's power in our lives. I encourage all of us to study further on the Bible's examples and use the benefits available in fasting and prayer. I don't know what to do, John. We're in big trouble. The Bible has answers. Prayer and fasting is one of them. Where have we been lax in this help that is available to us? Probably greatly for most of us. You know what I mentioned this morning? What about family members? What about their spiritual conditions? What about my spiritual condition? What about our nation, our kids, I mentioned, ourselves? And you could go on ad infinitum. We could stay here another hour. Thank you, Jane. I'm glad to hear that enthusiasm. But let's leave it at this, folks. May the power of God rest upon us because it can. And prayer and fasting are one of those venues afforded to us today. May God be praised. Amen and amen. On the screen or in your hymn book, 273. Let's stand if you're able. Fill my cup, Lord. You know what? Maybe today your cup is half empty. What number did I say again?
273.
Thank you, Matt. But I believe this, folks, from the basis of what we've studied even in these last 2 weeks. God's prepared to what? Fill our cup. If we'll what? Just as the song says, if we'll lift it up and ask him. What's on your heart? What's on my heart today? I'm up here every Sunday. You say, well, yeah, you're supposed to be John. That's right. I'm here because I need to be up here. Maybe some of you need to publicly come to the Lord today too. I don't know what's going on in all your lives. You don't know what's going on in mine. But the Lord Jesus does. And as always, that's why we meet here every Sunday and every time we meet. If there's someone here today that's never come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, let me tell you, He loves you today. And He's got a wonderful future. Maybe you're burdened. I guarantee you today, if you're here apart from Jesus Christ, you're burdened with a load of sin. Your cup is empty, but He'll fill it to overflowing. And the Bible's very clear. There's no religious rigmarole. It's this simple. If you acknowledge you're a sinner and you call upon the name of the Lord to save you, He will. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him. You'll be afforded new life in Christ. And maybe today, if someone's backslidden, you say, yeah, you know, I used to have that fervor, the zeal. Autumn brought that up in prayer meeting the other night. Zeal means you were fired up on the Lord. That can come back. It may involve some of the things we've talked about today. God loves you. I love you too today. Let this be a day of healing in Christ. Let it be an exciting day like none other. Let's sing today. You come forward today. If there's something that's on your heart, bring it to the Lord. He's ready. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. May this be our prayer today. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Praise God for this day He's given us. Don't let the seconds tick away and lose what He's given us today. Doug, will you close us down with prayer, please?